Welcome to the home of explanations. You've got More Than Money Radio. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning. It is February the 13th, and happy to be with you pre-Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. If you're just joining us, we invite you to join the show indeed, 610-720-7900. 610-720-7900, or you can send me an email, gene@askmtm.com works very, very well. And I've got a couple. Yeah, we're going to work on those. And morethanmoneyonline.com. Morethanmoneyonline.com lets you listen, participate with the show wherever you may be that has internet access for your smartphone, tablet, or any smart device. Happy to be with you this morning. Lots going on. The market's very volatile. Friday, nicely upward movement positive. The political scenario heating up. New Hampshire primary this past week. Economic output outlooks are out and about, so you can take a look at those as well. Super Bowl, that was a great game. It was lots of fun. Lots of fun to watch, and we were with wonderful friends and just a great time. So God bless all them. And, of course, it's very cold. Be very, very careful as you go out and about. Again, 610-720-7900. We actually took a call off air. The question is one that lots of folks are asking. In years past, there was the ability for folks who are 70 and older who are taking their required minimum distributions from their IRAs to send that required minimum distribution directly to a charity, a nonprofit, and not pay any income tax. And every year they were kind of fussing with that. Maybe they're going to extend it, maybe they weren't. And finally this year, they made it permanent. So if you were the person who kind of went on a leap of faith and made that transaction in 2015, you're perfectly fine. And you'll be able to make that plan going forward. Lots of folks were waiting. They would not do that transaction until very late in the year because they didn't know what the IRS was going to do. Now that you're aware that you can send your RMD to a nonprofit, depending on your circumstance and the nonprofit circumstance, it may benefit either you or them or both to send it earlier in the year rather than later, or it may benefit one or both of you to send it in pieces. Maybe there's 10 months left in the year and your RMD was going to be $10,000, send them $1,000 a month. Just a thought. John, we have a line running. So God bless us indeed. 610-720-7900. Here's an email I received. Today I got a letter from a guy. I actually got this on Thursday. Today I got a letter from the guy who's been doing my taxes for years. He says he has to retire due to health reasons. I knew he was up in years, but I had no idea he had health problems. He's a really nice man, and I feel bad for him. Of course, I also feel a little bad for me. How do I find another tax preparer quickly? Will all the good ones be taken? Both fairly easy answers. How do you find one quickly? Referral. Talk to folks who you associate with that you respect their financial sense and see who they're using. If you're reluctant to do that, you can certainly send me an email and we'll get your referral as well. Are all the good ones taken? No. We're a little early in the tax season to be full up, but I will warn you, lots of good tax preparers are, as the gentleman that was serving you, if they've been serving folks for many, many years, they are full. They are absolutely full. But there are lots of good tax preparers. So don't despair. You'll find a good one. Ask for referrals from friends that you respect If you're not willing to do that or unable to do that, send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, and we'll take care of that for you. 610-720-7900. Am I reading this correctly, Carl? We go to the phones and we talk to Carl. Carl, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Hey, I came in the middle of your story before about the client being turned down or the client issue.
Yeah.
And it reminded me, I don't know if you ever saw the movie The Bronx Tale.
No.
Bronx Tale, a fantastic movie anyway. Basically, a mafiosa catches a hoodlum chasing a guy for $20. And the mafiosa tells the hoodlum kid, he says, how much does the kid owe you? He says, $20. He goes, look, $20, he's out of your life. You never have to worry about him ever again. Forget it, you know?
Oh, that's exactly right. That's a perfect analogy. Bronx Tale.
Yeah, it's all a fan. Young Fred Savage is in it. Robert De Niro has kind of a small part in it. A fantastic movie.
I will be checking that out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Anyway, I had a question. My mom is talking about moving to another house. I got to be honest with you. I don't even know her exact net worth. I know where she's living now. Her overhead is very, very small. She's in a modular home or mobile home, whatever, and her bills are very, very low. But I guess she's tired. She wants a garage. She can't have a garage, blah, blah, blah. But if she spends every dime before she goes, that's great for me. I have no interest in any of her money or anything. Mm-hmm. But she's talking recently about buying a house, and I just didn't know. Obviously, it always depends. I get the answer. But I just wonder if you give me some things to think about or her to think about. I could talk to her about just as she goes forward making that decision.
Sure. You're already, I think, on the right track in the fundamentals. Monthly overhead, monthly expenses. She's in a certain circumstance now where she spends X, and it sounds like a pretty modest amount. Going to a home that's got a little more opportunity for comfort, absolutely, but it may absolutely add significantly to the monthly expenses. Now, that may end up, you're absolutely right, it depends. If she's got plenty of income, the rise in monthly expenses may mean nothing. It may be, yeah, I know, and that's fine, I can handle them. Or it may mean, you know what, I'm looking at my income versus my outgo, and if it goes up, it could be my downfall. This is so looking at cash flow is very, very important. How old is your mom?
She's 73.
She is also eligible for a reverse mortgage. And
right.
In recent years, reverse mortgages became available for folks who are buying homes. It used to be that it was only if you already owned your home. Now they have reverse mortgages that are available for people buying their homes. And you have to be 62 or older, which is why I asked her age. And, of course, she meets that criterion. And she doesn't have to have strong income, just et cetera, et cetera. The reverse mortgage qualifications are much more lenient than a typical mortgage or home equity might be. And so, and she doesn't have to repay it. So it's not as if she's going to borrow money and then be burdened with a high payment that she might not be able to handle. There are no payments.
I sort of have a concept for a reverse mortgage, like when you already own your home, and so you take out a reverse mortgage on it to get income from it. But can you explain to me a little bit how that works if you're buying one?
Oh, sure. It feels exactly the same as the original type of reverse mortgage, in the sense that I'm picking a number. The house is worth $150,000. The reverse mortgage program permits the borrower, I'm again picking a number, $125,000. And that becomes a lien against the home, and accrues interest over the lifetime of the borrower until either she moves out of the home or passes away. The home is sold, and the reverse mortgage company gets paid. In this case, the difference is, if we're buying a $150,000 house, and the reverse mortgage maximum is $125,000, she will need a down payment. Now,
it
might come from her existing residence. It might come from savings. It might come from a lot of places. But
right. But
the difference between what she's buying and what they will lend her is in effect the down payment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's definitely something to think about. And she has a financial guy, and I just kind of give her ideas and questions to ask him. I don't really give her advice. I'm not clearly it's not my expertise. But what I hear her talk about things, I want to make sure she's you know, kind of exploring all the facets.
It's a great idea. What you're doing is a tremendous help for your mom to just to have another set of eyes and ears, kind of giving her a little different perspective. And I've got to say that there are a lot of great financial advisors out there who are focused. Maybe they only do investments. Maybe they only do mutual funds. Maybe they only do annuities or whatever. And they may or may not have a lot of experience in reverse mortgages or other kind of creative things that they might think about. So if she's not getting a lot of good information from her current advisor, tell her not to hesitate to either reach out. We'll get her a good referral to the folks at AFC, or just go gather the information on her own and then make her own decision, whatever is best for her.
All right. Well, great. Thank you very much for your time. And don't forget a Bronx Tale.
I appreciate that very much. Thanks, Carl.
Take care.
Thanks. Great call. Great call. Son caring about his mom. She's a young lady. She's got decades and decades to go. So if making a move is going to make her life more comfortable, more enjoyable, and if it can be handled responsibly, financially well, makes all the sense in the world. But it needs a little cash flow analysis, a little evaluation of a reverse mortgage perhaps, which is which way to go. It depends. Depends. 610-720-7900. We just did that one. Let me go back to this email I just got. It's got a couple interesting moving parts. Gentleman writes, I'm 57. My wife is 62. Married apparently over 30 years. He is the primary breadwinner, so to speak, and has maxed out Social Security every year. He indicates he'll receive about $32,000 at full retirement age. His wife, $9,500 or so at full retirement age. He's in good health. Would like a expects to retire approximately 68, and he has other financial resources. Question is, should my wife begin to take her Social Security benefit now, knowing that she would get half of mine when I retire? The answer is not likely. And because I don't have every detail about your personal financial situation, of course, we'll reach out and have one of our advisors contact you on Monday and hopefully get you more specifics. But it's not likely in your best interest. And here's why. If you're going to continue to work and you're the primary breadwinner, your income tax bracket is not likely to drop anytime soon. So if she takes it at 62, she's locking in the lowest Social Security benefit she can get on her own, of course. And she's adding that money on top of your other income. And so adding it on top presents two problems. It may very well be taxed painfully so. And number two, she may very well end up losing some benefits because there's more income there than the Social Security system permits, so to speak. So I would be hesitant. Now, easy question to answer, actually. If you sit with either a good financial advisor or a good tax advisor, CPA, EA, they can walk you through the numbers, tell you exactly what pain you will feel, taxes, etc., if you plug that new money into your current income tax profile. 15, 20 minutes maybe, tops, and then you'll know exactly what you're up against. The second issue that some folks bump up against, I don't get that impression from your email, but some folks bump up against is that they have a significant cash flow need. There may be a medical need. There may be a personal need. There may be debt. There may be some other thing that this cash flow, this particular $9,000 or $10,000, would solve. That does not sound like your circumstance. So I'm not giving that a great deal of weight in my answer. But if you're sitting in a similar circumstance as this gentleman writing, and you're saying, I hear all that, but I got to have that money. I got it. And that trumps everything else. Ooh, Trump's? Do I have to pay him now a royalty because I used his word? All right, never mind. By the way, one of our loyal listeners, I haven't met him. I wish I had. gentleman who is a CPA here in Allentown has generously offered that he'll take any of our overflow clients. So for the gentleman who lost his advisor, you know what? Absolutely, Jim. We'll give him the referral to you as well. We certainly appreciate all that you do. 610-720-7900. Wow. I had seven different numbers in there and names, apparently. Let's go to the phones. We talked to Lourdes. Good morning, Lourdes.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Good, good.
How
many?
Didn't
get enough sleep, did you, last night?
I got a reasonable amount of sleep last night, so I'm much perkier this week than I was last.
Okay. And also, I have to say, the caller before, I have to second, you have to see Bronx Tale. It's one of the best movies.
I'm writing it down as we speak, and I'm absolutely going to get it.
Okay.
What can we do to serve you this morning?
Okay, so I was going to retire April 1st,
mm-hmm.
full retirement.
Mm-hmm.
I have since made a proposal to my company to stay on part-time, and they have agreed.
Ooh, nice.
Very nice. I'm going to be working 20 hours a week.
Okay.
Which is great for me.
Sure.
And you and I will talk more about that later. But,
sure.
The thing is that with this company, if I work 20 hours a week, they continue to give me medical benefits.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know. So my question is, if I delay taking Medicare Part B, hopefully you know this, am I going to be penalized when I finally do fully retire because I didn't take it when I had started, like, with my Social Security and stuff?
Penalized, the answer is yes. To what degree, I don't know. Now, I absolutely understand that there are exceptions to the penalty rules if your primary coverage is still being provided by your employer. So is there a potential penalty? I think the answer is yes. Remind me, I don't think you've yet turned 65, have you?
I have.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
So Medicare is part of this whole evaluation process. You can certainly contact the local Social Security office.
I have tried that, and there's like 45-minute wait, and I can't get there.
You know what? Forgive me, but because we're friends, call Connie on Monday.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Let her know exactly the challenge that you're up against, and I think we have a way that we can kind of cut the line.
Okay.
So to speak.
Yes.
I think the fact that you're covered by your employer is going to give you an exception to the penalty rule.
Okay.
So I'm hopeful that we're going to get you a much better answer than it kind of appears.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll find out.
Okay, great. Thank you. Have a great week.
You too. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you very much. Happy Valentine to you and Diane.
Thank you. Thank you so much. 610-720-7900. If you get the impression we're friends, it's because we're friends. Goodness gracious. Jim, keep listening, because here's another one. Email, my husband and I started a small business last summer. We both have day jobs. That's a good way to put it. We earned just over $7,600 through the end of 2015 working the business part-time. Now, of course, we have to do our taxes. We've always had good success with TurboTax doing it on our own. Is there any reason we won't do just as well with the business added in? Excuse me. Thank you for the cough button. John's right there. You know what? I am torn. I'm very torn on this question, and I'll tell you exactly why I'm torn, and hopefully you'll appreciate that I'm kind of waffly here. And the term, it depends, is all over this question. And again, you're going to hear in a moment why. Diane and our team handle hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tax returns for our clients every year. So do I see tremendous value in having a professional tax preparer? Of course. Now, do I also have hundreds of clients, literally hundreds of clients, who do their own tax return, and they often do it on TurboTax, and they get fine results? Sure. So while it may appear on the surface that, of course, I'm going to lean towards a professional, That's not the case. I lean towards whatever meets your needs, floats your boat, helps you get to your goals in a way that you're happy with and reasonable cost, yada, yada, yada. And TurboTax, for the most part, reasonable cost, for the most part. But here's my hesitation. If all you're looking to do is to make sure the tax is calculated correctly, as far as you know, TurboTax should do fine. If, on the other hand, your objective is to make sure you pay the lowest amount that you can, if you understand all of the various available deductions to you, if you have an understanding of, hey, is there an advantage to being an LLC or a corporation from a tax standpoint? Do you have any liability concerns? What are the goals for the company? Is it going to grow, or is it going to be a part-time business forever that makes $7,000 or $8,000 a year? Do you ever expect to have employees? Do you ever think you might turn this into a business where it's your full-time job instead of your part-time and you go to the day job? These are significantly challenging questions because they involve multiple pieces of your financial life. This is where a professional tax preparer can be of tremendous assistance. For example, your new part-time business, you're buying and selling antiques. You've been subscribing to antique journals, magazines, newspapers forever just because it was fun. Did you know that they're now deductible? Well, if you knew that, God bless you. If you didn't, a professional tax preparer would be guiding you about deductions, guiding you about the proper legal format for your business to gain the maximum tax advantages. There are just so many different perspectives that someone who advises, a professional tax advisor might very well advise dozens or hundreds of companies and might be able to turn to you and go, you know what, I've got another client who has exactly this kind of company, and they discovered this. Or another company or another client who wanted to maximize retirement benefits, and we were able to help them put in their own 401k, even though it's just, you know, you and your husband. There's a tremendous amount of information. TurboTax is really, really good at plugging in the numbers and getting the calculations very, very well. But it's only as good as the information you give it. And if you had no idea that you could deduct your mileage at 50 cents plus per mile, and so you never kept track of it, I don't know how many miles I don't have any idea. That's a shame, because Uncle Sam's going to get more money than he or she deserves. Which, let me think, the IRS deserves, that would be zero. So if you can figure out how to pay zero, very, very happy for you. And by the way, so would your tax preparer. So again, lots of questions, way more questions than I gave you answers. But if you have some of those similar questions, you're going, yeah, I was wondering about that too. Professional tax preparation makes a lot of sense. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. We have Ed on hold. He's going to hold through the break. We have a couple more lines available, 610-720-7900. And, of course, we're here to serve you. Half an hour left, not a lot of time. Make sure you get on board. We'll answer your questions and a lot more after this on More Than Money. I can offer explanations galore. You've got More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor with 780 years of experience at your service. This Saturday morning, February the 13th, one day before Valentine's Day. It's supposed to be record cold tomorrow. If you forget Valentine's Day, it's going to be record cold inside and out. So be aware. Little nice cards, something. I got 10 Valentines coming to dinner with me tomorrow night. I'm very, very excited. Lots of great fun. 610-720-7900 lets you join us. Gene@askmtm.com lets you have a conversation and join us. And morethanmoneyonline.com lets you participate in the entire show. Listen live and join us as well. I want to circle back to something we talked about in our 8:30 hour before we take our call. So, Ed, please be patient on the line. One of our More Than Money family working with Daryl Oaken had requested prayers for his sister, Diane. She's currently being treated for liver cancer in Philadelphia. And we were happy to offer that to our audience. A number of you have already responded. One young lady very kindly called in and gave us some information that we'll pass on. A couple emails that are very, very touching. So folks will pray for Diane. And one email thanked me for being willing to offer a prayer on a financial show. It's more than money. It's absolutely more than money. And when it's your life, all of a sudden the money part, hey, I'm not guessing that anybody in that family is worried about the stock market being up or down. Priorities change pretty dramatically. So all of us, by the grace of God, have a far better place in our future than this silly spinning blue and white orb. Goodness. And yeah, for all you global warming nuts, yeah, there's green out there too. Everything's going to be green. Come on. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Ed. Ed, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Now that the stock market has been crushed, I would like to redeploy a portion of my liquid assets that are in money market funds and in short-term high-quality corporate bonds into the stock market.
Sure.
And I would like to have a list of stocks, ETFs, or mutual funds that you believe would be good investments for long-term capital gains, willing to take some risk. But I like the specific ideas.
Then Ed, I'm not going to do that on air. I'll do that off air and happy.
Why wouldn't you do it on air?
Because I don't wish to. It's just that simple. It's one of those things. And here's why. And it's a much more specific answer. And I apologize for being a little flip. There is a competitive show that actually I rather enjoy. It's called the Mutual Fund Show. Used to be carried on our station, not any longer. But they will go through standard deviations and up and down and sideways, and to be perfectly blunt, in many ways it's misleading, because if you ask about a particular fund, for example, a large cap growth fund, there may be a great T. Rowe Price, there may be a great Fidelity, but it's misleading to talk about them in that sense, because in that category there are nearly 2,000 funds. And each of them has a slightly different pattern of management, a slightly different tax exposure, a slightly different. So to discuss one or two is to give the impression that on some level I'm endorsing those selections. And the answer is I'm really not, because we take great pride in the More Than Money World headquarters that we customize. And I really appreciate that you asked about mutual funds, ETFs, stocks. They all operate very differently. So I think you're being very appropriate that if you're willing to kind of move back into the market, I think it makes great sense. You're right. The market's been, I'm not sure, crushed is a word I'm excited about. But you're absolutely right. It's down significantly. Is it a buying opportunity for somebody who has the willingness to put some, have some patience and allow the money to go in and cook for 2, 3, 4, 5 years? I think it is an opportunity. And off air, happy to go through anything that we would find appropriate for your specific circumstance. And there's tons of them. There are 30,000 mutual funds, thousands of ETFs, tens of thousands of stocks. But on
My
air.
My question to you is, ETFs and what mutual funds and what stocks are you investing in for your clients today?
Yeah, and my answer is exactly the same answer I just gave you. What I'm doing for my clients isn't terribly relevant for you specifically, any more than if you said to a doctor, hey, you know, in general, what drugs, vitamins, supplements should I be taking? And he says, hey, you know, it's everything specific to you. Well, what are you recommending for your other patients? The answer is that doesn't really help you. Because,
okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Answer my question, but thank you.
I appreciate the call. And I sense his frustration. I understand that. Other advisors are more than willing to go on air and go, hey, it's T. Rowe Price, hey, it's Fidelity, hey, it's Yacktman, hey, it is. And we're not, because our approach is number one, fiduciary, which means we put client needs first. And number two, it's, hey, doc, I mean, we're at a cocktail party. What kind of drug should I be taking? Oh, come on. That's a silly question. Specific? No, and that's not a silly question for a specific circumstance. So I absolutely understand his frustration. I'm still right. So, God bless. 610-720-7900. Gene at askmtm.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. Okay, interesting question. Young lady has indicated she's asked advice in the past, and she says some very kind things here. And I will blush if I read all of them, so I'll just let that go. She's in her senior years. She has a very modest income, and to be fair, in her estimation, her money is running out. Her son has offered to help her with monthly expenses, and she needs to know how to handle the payback of that money after she passes away and the house is sold to equally distribute the remains of the money to both her son and daughter. Well, first of all, God bless you, hopefully your circumstances work out in a way that you can live comfortably and at peace. God bless your son for being willing to help. That's fantastic. Very kind of him. Equalizing the estate after your passing is a relatively easy thing to do if you keep notes. In many cases, these kinds of things are kind of left to the winds. Hey, this month he helped me with a couple $100, and then nothing for a month or two. And then one month, real estate taxes, I needed $500, and he helped. And after a while, everybody kind of loses track. You can't lose track, not if you want to be fair. So keep track. And keep track in a way that both you and your son, and if you're comfortable, and I would hope that you would be, Mr. Jan, if you are comfortable, share with your daughter as well. Hey, this is the help that I've already gotten. So let's just paint a scenario that over the next 10 or 15 years, your son helps you to the tune of $10,000. That has been recorded, that has been accumulated, that has been identified and documented. So your will should say something along the lines of, prior to the distribution of the residual estate, I wish my son to be repaid the money he has advanced me in the amount of $10,000. So now what we have is, let's use very simple estate. It's just your home. And very simple numbers, your home is worth $100,000. And prior to changing the language of your will, it would have gone half to your son, half to your daughter, $50,000 and $50,000. In this case, what will happen is the first thing is that your son will be repaid. $10,000 will go to your son. And now the $90,000 is split two ways. So your son will get $10,000 as a repayment. He'll get half of $90,000, $45,000. Your daughter will get $45,000. By the way, it also allows then for your daughter's participation, if she is able or willing, so that over the same number of years, let's say your daughter has assisted as well, and let's say the numbers are different. Your son puts in 10, your daughter puts in 5. Those numbers are paid first. Son gets paid back, daughter gets paid back, same $100,000 house. Now there's 85,000 left. split two ways, 42.5 to the son, 42.5 to the daughter. So it is perfectly equitable. If you are comfortable from just what I've described to you, you can make some notes, and that can be taken care of for you. If you are, hey, geez, that sounds like a little more than I'm comfortable drawing up for my will, make sure you reach out to us, and we'll get you a good referral to an experienced attorney that can help you very, very readily. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to David. David, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Gene. How are you?
Very well. How may we serve you?
I had a problem streaming you this morning only because I couldn't get my computer enabled, but I usually follow you from Florida, but now I'm in D.C. I'm getting closer to the Holy Land. So.
Nice. You're always welcome, my friend.
Listen, I just a brief summary of how this negative interest thing is going to affect us at all. I know they're talking about it. I know the European continent's been dealing with it to some extent. If you could just give us just kind of a brief summary of it.
Sure. And you're absolutely right. Europe has been struggling with this challenge for a number of years. Japan has recently kind of tiptoed into the waters of negative interest. And for a lot of folks out there, they're going, negative interest? How can that be? Americans have been accustomed to taking their money down to the bank. The bank says, we'll make sure it's safe and sound. And when you leave here, we'll actually pay you for the use of your money. We'll give you interest, 1%, 2%, 3%. We'll take your money, we'll put it to good work, to good use, and we'll earn 4%, 5%, 6%. We turn a profit, you get a profit, everybody wins. Well, with interest rates being as remarkably low as they are, and for many banking institutions, financial institutions, the type of secure financial instruments they look to are short-term treasuries, short-term treasury notes, and a 1 or a 2-year treasury right now paying way less than 1%. In some cases, 0.6%, 0.7%. Use 0.7 as a good example. By the time the bank earns that and pays their overhead, allowance for profit, there's nothing left to pay the depositor. So in banks in Europe, banks in now Japan, they're saying what we're going to do from now on is we're actually going to charge the client a negative interest rate, in essence, a fee for hanging on to their money, protecting their money. So the client deposits $10,000. In times past, if they earned 1% at the end of a year, it would be worth $10,100. In this case, if the interest rate is negative 1% at the end of 1 year, it'll be worth $9,900. And the 100 has just been assessed by the bank. Now, some folks would say that this has already happened. If you look at some of the fee structures of some of the major banks, if you're not active with them, they start to charge you maintenance fees or monthly account fees. And some folks say same thing. It kind of is. It kind of isn't, because if they hit you for $30 or $40, $50 a year in fees, and you have $1,000, that's 5%. If you have $100,000, it's 0.05%. Negative interest is a percentage of whatever you deposit. So yeah. Major deposits are going to get banged. It is not even in the rumor mill for the United States at the moment. That could change Tuesday. So I'm not confident that the fact that it's not in the rumor mill means anything whatsoever. But what it means for the average American is that they're going to look, lots of folks are going to look at the bank and go, then why the hell would I leave my money here?
Right. Gotcha. And
yeah, they will look elsewhere.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much. Have a good
David,
day.
Thank you, sir. Take care.
Bye-bye.
610-720-7900. That's kind of coast to coast, because we're in America. And he's in D.C. It's like, it's just a different world. I just telling you, David, when you're done in D.C., shower. You want to get all that off you before you go back someplace nice. 610-720-7900, Gene@askmtm.com. Goodness. Oh, you're very kind. Thank you very much for that. Indeed, you're quite welcome. And lots of folks are responding to the question the young couple has. They started their own business, and should they do their own taxes? And we're getting a lot of feedback from small business owners saying, dudes, be wise up front, because they made a lot of mistakes. The theme is, hey, we did the same thing, didn't get advice right up front, made a lot of mistakes, cost us a lot of money, and that the cost of a professional tax advisor worth its weight in gold. So God bless us. Thank you very much. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Heads up for next week, next Saturday the 20th, in the 9 o'clock hour, we're welcoming two very special guests, a young man that I have dubbed the Lehigh Valley's humorist, Shane Burkaw, author, blogger, speaker, inspiring speaker, humorist. Because the young man has a powerful message, but he says it with great style. His partner in crime and their nonprofit, Laughing at My Nightmare, is Sarah Burkaw. She will be here as well. I'm born a Bethlehem native, Moravian grad, and now award-winning author. We're happy that Shane and Sarah will be joining us. Spread the word. We're going to send out email reminders this week so that if you're a part of our More Than Money family network, you'll get those. But spread the word. At the very least, it'll be entertaining. my wife just finished Shane's book, pronounced it fantastic, and wants him to know he has a potty mouth. So my wife, by the way, didn't stop her from reading it and laugh. Oh my gosh, laughed right out loud multiple times. So next week, please join us. Let me see if there's anything else I want to checklist before I move forward. Markets had a tremendous day on Friday. Of course, markets are closed on Monday for the holiday, so we'll see Tuesday. Next week will give us an indicator whether are we kind of hovering right around the bottom. As a previous caller saying, hey, the market's been trashed, I think I want to put some money in now. Are we there, or is there more to be felt? I guess we'll find out. A gentleman writes, I lost my job after 38 years last year and started taking my Social Security in September when I turned 63. Just before Thanksgiving, I hooked up with a couple of guys I used to work with who went out on their own 5 or 6 years ago. They offered me a job. I'm making really good money. I'm really enjoying the work and the people I work with. Oh, my gosh. Fantastic. It looks like I could have this position for 10 years, maybe longer. I really now don't want my Social Security. Is there anything I can do? This is one of the easier questions I'll answer this morning. The answer is yes. Social Security gives you a do-over. You have 12 months to change your mind. That's a relatively recent change, by the way. Until a number of years ago, you could change your mind. Hey, I did it at 62, and at 69, I changed my mind. You could pay it all back and do a do-over. Now it's 12 months. So since you started in September, you've got some breathing room here, but I wouldn't press my luck. If you really don't want it, the idea is pretty straightforward. You contact Social Security. You request the do-over. They will request that you send them the money back. So that's okay. You repay the benefits that you've already received. And it's as if you never started in the first place. So your newfound opportunity that may very well have you working happily, how cool is that? Happily until beyond age 70 means that instead of taking early Social Security at a pretty steep discount at 63, you'll be able to take maximum Social Security at age 70, as long as that fits your other financial goals. That's fantastic. Congratulations. Great for the folks that you used to work with. Great for you that they thought of you and thought highly of you. And if you're enjoying the work, make sure that they know that. Make sure the folks around you know that. We're very lucky. The More Than Money team, we are We're quirky. You know what I'm saying? Quirky. Every one of us is quirky. We got our own quirks. We got our own little, not snarky. No. Snarky is like, argh. Quirky is we all have our own unusual way of doing things. We're all just a little, and it works. It just works really, really well. And as a result, you know what? We really enjoy going to work. How much better can that possibly be? That's pretty cool stuff. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. Thank you in advance for answering my questions. I'll be listening Saturday morning for your answer. I got it squeezed in just before the end. My husband and I are expecting our first child in June. That's fantastic. Congratulations. Other than small policies at work, and she goes on to say, I guess I'll lose mine when I leave. We have no life insurance. We also have no idea where to start. We respect your opinion. We will follow your advice. No pressure. Okay, here's where you start. Likely, in all probability, you're relatively younger. First child, congratulations, fantastic. By the way, my mom was born in June, so hopefully right around June 8th, that'd be a nice celebration. Let me know. That's cool. We have a number of clients, children and grandchildren, born on my birthday, March 11th, and I find that fantastic. We usually celebrate a little bit, so that's kind of fun. Term life insurance is likely what you will want to look at, where you can buy relatively significant amounts of insurance measured in hundreds of thousands or millions. Now, I know that sounds like a lot of money, but it isn't. But the premiums on term insurance can be remarkably affordable. So the first thing you're going to do is sit with a professional advisor, professional life insurance expert. Walk through your numbers, look at your budgets, look at what protections you need for you, for the soon-to-be newborn little one, for your husband, and develop a plan that fits your budget. But be prepared, and I'm going to ask you seriously to be prepared, to think in terms of very large numbers of life insurance, because I see too many times folks say, we got a lot of life insurance, he has 50 and I have 25,000. And that'll last, God bless you, if you lose your spouse, about 3 months. And that's the nature of the beast. But God bless you, and God bless your soon-to-be newborn. And we'll think great thoughts and keep you in our prayers as well. Voice of an Angel says, gotta go. But doesn't mean we're going away. It means we're still available to serve you. If we can offer you a second opinion, or if we offer you more information about anything you heard today, if you want a specific list of investments just for you, you can send me an email, gene@askmtm.com. You can go on our website, morethanmoneyonline.com, or you can call the More Than Money World Headquarters, 610-746-7007. 610-746-7007. Folks, thanks for spending part of your weekend with me. Have a wonderful Valentine's Day. I hope your Valentine's Day is every bit as good as mine. We'll see you next week on More Than Money.